Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. It's April 6, 2020, live, to be rebroadcast April 8th, 2020. I'm Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza. Hey. If you'd like to participate in the conversation about natural medicine while live, you can comment below on Facebook Live and also call in to Facebook Live. You can email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at FranStorchND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. All right, so more stuff going on. Here we are with the coronavirus files. Ron and I, our experience of what's going on, and a little bit, you know, more update stuff about natural medicine. Let's remind you to do the five. Wash your hands often. I really wash my hands whenever I think of it. One of the things that's kind of concerning is we stopped in at a CVS. We went to Glastonbury. We did a road trip to Glastonbury, and we went to Dee's One Smart Cookie and got goodies there.
Shout out
and,
to Dee's.
And we didn't go in. They are gloved and masked and not letting anybody into the shop. And you call ahead and you order your stuff, and then they bring it out to you. We just pop the trunk and they place it in, and that's that. And so we got some goodies. And then I realized we were on our way to the store's farmer's market. And I was really thirsty. So we decided to stop at CVS in Glastonbury. And so, as you may know, the grocery stores and pharmacies now have more stringent restrictions. They are supposed to only have 50% capacity at any one time in a store. And if practicable, the aisles are supposed to be one way. And when you go to checkout, the checkouts are clearly demarcated with tape so that you will be 6 feet away from the person, the other person that you're in line with. So it's really interesting. So I went into that CVS. The first thing I was greeted with was a huge sign on the front of the CVS, and it said all the things they were out of. Kleenex, toilet paper, hand sanitizer, wipes, even hand soap. So I'm assuming that's liquid hand soap. I don't know about bar soap. I didn't check to see if there was bar soap, but they're out of hand soap too. People are hoarding soap as well. Ron, I wish we had hoarded. I don't know what to say because
I wish we didn't. I think it's ridiculous, and I'm not sold on this.
The unfortunate thing about hoarding is if you didn't do it, now you have to plan because other people hoard. And I, as much as I say I wish people wouldn't hoard, they still do it.
Yeah,
so I don't know what to say. I mean, we're still good for toilet paper for, you know, we're probably another month. But in a month, we're going to need toilet paper. I'm not sure what we're going to do. So please, people, stop hoarding. The grocery stores are still open. And if you give them time to stock, you'll be able to get your toilet paper. I guess it's a control thing. And like I said, once...
Sorry.
Yeah, once you are, once people start hoarding, you have to plan around their hoarding so that you can get your own toilet paper. It's just, anyway. So anyway, we want you to wash your hands often. I wash my hands whenever I think of it. I wash my hands when I leave my car, anytime I leave my car, anytime then I, when I get back into my car or a car, which would really only be Ron's car.
We have to turn our camera. We're sideways.
We're going to turn our camera because we're sideways. So bear with us. We are still figuring stuff out.
Yeah.
So I wash my hands when I leave the house, before I leave the house, when I get back into the house. And pretty much any time I change activities, when I set up to do another activity, even if I'm at home, only because it's possible that something that I've touched could theoretically have virus on it. We are still very fortunate in that the town of Mansfield still only has one confirmed case. And there are many towns around it that still have no confirmed cases, which doesn't mean that we should relax about what we're doing. What it means is that possibly what we're doing is working. All this staying at home and washing up and not traveling and being very careful with what we're doing and wearing masks in public. All of these things are actually working in Eastern Connecticut. So do the five. Wash your hands often. If you have to sneeze or cough, cough into your elbow. Got you. All right. Try not to touch your face. Obviously, stay 6 feet apart when you're in public and when you're other places. And if you're feeling sick at all, stay home. And in general, don't go to social gatherings if you see other people. I mean, one of the things that we've been doing is when we've been doing exercise, when we've been outside on bike rides or when we're out walking, we're very sociable with the appropriate social distancing, because this is about physical distance. It's not about social distance. And the funny thing is, whenever we see anybody, they're so glad to see us, you know, and we're so glad to see them because they're not us.
Yeah, not us.
Right? Yeah, it's like, right. Hi, somebody who's not Ron. It's so exciting to see you.
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, shout out to Chris DePaul of down in Westerly. I hope everything's going on well with WBLQ. Thank you for watching and listening, Chris. It's miss you, and I hope you guys are all doing great down there. Please, big shout out to Brian as well. Okay, so another update on telemedicine. Just want to let you know that right now, naturopathic physicians can, and other doctors, of course, are able to get insurance reimbursement for telemedicine where it was harder before. They've made it so pretty much any kind of telemedicine you can do will be paid for. You cannot use a public-facing platform, so you can't use Facebook Live, for example, and you can't use Instagram, but you can use any non-public facing platform that you have easily on your phone. So you don't have to sign up for anything. It's probably already on your phone, or it's an easy download for a no-charge app. So I am set up to use FaceTime, Google Duo, Skype, and Facebook Live. All of those are permitted now. Zoom is also permitted, and I'm assuming Google Hangouts. I'm not sure, because Google Hangouts you can use more than one person. Google Duo is Google's version of something that's easy one-on-one phone conversation. So those are all permitted right
Here's
now.
An answer from Google.
And you can also when you say Google, my phone gets very excited and really wants to help, which I'm very very appreciative of.
We're still trying to figure out this technology.
Yeah.
It's a little tricky for, you know, folks that are not as onto it every single day.
So. Yeah. Exactly.
We'll figure it out.
So at our office, and at most offices, you will see people are putting away magazines. All the magazines are gone. People are masking up. There's no toys or books in the office. So if you have to wait for a minute, you want to bring your phone in. And mostly people are encouraged not to wait in the waiting room so they don't have to encounter other people. What we do is when you get here, we have you sit in the car and then phone us when you get in, and then we invite you in. I'm not seeing a lot of live patients. That didn't come out right.
You're not a mortician.
I'm not seeing a lot of patients in person. That many people are taking advantage of the remote ways of connecting with me. So people have been preferring to use the telephone. I do have my first FaceTime tomorrow, so I'm excited about that. I want to see how that works. So we're encouraging people to access their physicians, their naturopathic physicians, any kind of practitioner who has a remote way of connecting with you, you can connect with. Anybody who has to show you exercises, so like a physical therapist, even a chiropractor, may actually have a way of video connecting with you to show you exercises. So it's a good idea to connect. That way you don't have to be on your own. The other kind of practitioner you want to connect with is your counselor. Counselors, absolutely. That's an easy thing to do with telemedicine. And I have friends who are counselors and colleagues who are absolutely doing counseling remotely. And this time does a real number on your head. So if you have a counselor, it's a good idea to connect with your counselor. And if you don't have a counselor, you might want to get one. So that's a really good idea. That's what's going on with telemedicine. It's a good idea to use it if you can. The other thing is, if you do have good insurance coverage and you're stuck at home, all the telemedicine is covered right now for the most part. It is covered, and you can find out from your practitioner. And if you want to increase your health at this time, and of course you may be struggling with some health issues at this time, this is a good idea. It's a good time to reach out to a health practitioner who can help you. Even if you just, like I said, one of the things that's happening with me and Ron is when we go out and we see someone who's not us, we get very excited to see them. And we maintain the appropriate 6 foot plus distance. And then we chat with them, or we at least say a very enthusiastic hello. And I'm finding that the enthusiastic hellos are really humorous because people are very demonstrative without touching you. It's almost like people are more demonstrative now than before when we were allowed to touch each other.
Like that gentleman we saw down at the boat launch.
Oh, yes. Night. He was a good time.
Yeah,
yes.
He was fun.
He was a lot of fun. We had a nice chat with him. We kept our distance. But we chatted with him for a long time, and he had some nice music going, and I danced to it, and that was good. So I'm getting more accustomed to this new, we hope, temporary normal. We're all going through a reduction in business, but we're spending our time doing other things. We're getting support from the government in various ways. There's loans and programs to help us with that. And in the meanwhile, I'm trying to do a Facebook Live pretty much every day. I think I missed Saturday, but, pretty much every day I'm doing a Facebook Live. So that's a way for me to connect with you. And just so you know that I am on Facebook Live on my, on this page. Pretty much every day. And if you check in, you'll see that. And then you can comment and I'll answer your questions. And by the way, right now, if you're listening and watching and you want to ask a question about natural medicine, you can ask the question right up on the comments because we can see the comments. There they are right there. You can't see them, but I can. Well, actually, you can, can't you? So anyone can comment right now because people already have. All right. So I wanted to talk about being outside. It's a gorgeous day today here in Mansfield. I'm hoping that wherever you're sitting, you have lovely weather. And if you don't have lovely weather right now, you will. But today we do. Today we have some great weather. And we were out yesterday and the weather was meh. I mean, it did get up over 60 degrees while we were out on our bikes, and we did this lovely bike ride into the town of Lebanon, which is very hilly. So we did this lovely hilly bike ride. We got outside. It makes you feel so much better to be outside, I must say. And again, we're very blessed in that we are in eastern Connecticut, where it is rather rural. And because it's rural, it's really easier to maintain that physical distance. I mean, I feel bad for people who are in cities who are mostly stuck in their apartments because if they go outside, they can't help but not maintain the physical distance. We live, you know, we can't see our neighbors, which is good and bad, but we can't see our neighbors.
But we sure have seen a lot of our neighbors lately.
Yes, that's right.
So even though we can't see our neighbors are walking up and down the street.
Yes.
They're walking on the trail that runs next to our house. So we get to see all these interesting people that are out there that we haven't seen in a long time.
Right.
And everyone says the same thing. We shouldn't wait so long to do this.
We shouldn't wait for a disaster to
really
connect with each other.
To be able to talk with you.
And soon as we're allowed, we need to have a block party. Mm-hmm. I think that's
Absolutely.
What we need to do.
I'm going
to
set the chairs up 6 feet apart out in the yard, and we will have a social distancing party.
Or physical distancing
Physical distancing party.
Yeah.
Social interaction, physical distance.
Yes.
Hashtag SIPD.
Okay. So social interaction, physical distance.
Yes.
SIPD. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very nice. That sounds really good. Okay, so let's talk about going outside. Going outside is awesome. I have a nice little piece on all the great reasons why being outside is good for you. I'm going to go ahead and look that up. While I'm doing that, Ron, why don't you tell them a little bit about our great bike ride yesterday?
So we had this awesome bike ride yesterday. We went out and just did this really beautiful loop that went up through Columbia and over through Lebanon and then back. And we discovered as many hills as we could find, it seemed. But that's the way it is when you go out in that direction. But it was really, really cool because as we're out riding our bikes, first of all, we did encounter some other bicycle riders. We kept our distance, but we chatted and we had a nice time. We rode with them for a while. Shout out to John and Beth and Bill. And so that was really cool. But the other thing that was really cool is there's just so many people out right now, which I have not encountered as much in the past when I've been out riding my bike. People are out working in their yards, and they're out walking and doing all sorts of things. And it's just, it's
cool.
You
can look at the camera. It's cool. Say hi.
I can look at the camera. Hi, it's me. Hi, I'm right here. I'm just off on the side because we haven't quite figured out how to get the whole camera angle exactly where we need it, but we're working on that. But anyway, so that's the big thing I see is just so many more people outdoors.
Yeah. So. I know, and it's very exciting. And of course, one of the concerning things that we're seeing is that people are going to popular parks, and too many of them are going, and then sometimes those parks are being closed, which is unfortunate. So one of the things to do is do what they're suggesting. If you see that there are a lot of people at a particular park, you need to go somewhere else or go at another time or find another place to go.
Or park further down the road if you can find a place, because absolutely, you know, you're going for a walk anyway. So if just down the road from the park there is another parking lot, maybe from a business or something, then do that.
There's a problem with that.
What is that?
That is that they are trying to count the people that are in the park. And if you park somewhere else, if it's a state park, for example, where they're counting how many people are in the park.
Right.
If you park somewhere else and walk in, they don't want you doing that because they can't tell how many people are in the park.
I see. But the problem is the counters are, here we go with our car-centric society here. The counters are designed, we have them right here at Mansfield Hall, they're designed to pick up the metal of the car as it drives in.
Right.
So
yes.
That is, you know, that's maybe something that needs to be redesigned for the future, but that's the way they tell how many people are in the park. They count cars.
Right. Right, I know. And so,
you know, I mean, if you're trying to be responsible by spreading out, then that's a problem.
I know. And it's very hard because there are parks that are easy to walk into, like Mansfield Hollow. People walk into it because there's a lot of points of access, unfortunately. So,
but the parking lots all have counters on them. Even the ones over in North Windham, they have a counter on that one, too.
Yeah. Here, we have an excellent question. We have a question about pregnancy and the virus. So here's the thing. I would love to answer that question, but that is something I haven't looked into. And I don't know if I feel comfortable talking about that. Of course, right now, if someone is pregnant, they want to do all of the social, social and physical distancing and being doing a lot of rest, staying away from people who could be infected, doing the five, washing your hands, coughing into your elbow, don't touch your face, staying home. But in terms of anything specific about pregnancy, are pregnant women more at risk or less at risk, or is there a risk to the pregnancy? That is something I haven't looked into. So I will look into that for you. Thank you for asking, Sharis. But I will, I'm going to go ahead and look into that. And if you want, I'll put it onto the Facebook Live tomorrow.
Oh, that'd be a nice thing.
Yeah.
Out there.
Okay.
Sure.
So thanks for what a great question. All right. So I have to make sure to do that.
So anyone else who has questions, please just, comment right here. We see it come right up on the screen here, and we can comment to you without a phone call because we can't really do phone calls. Yeah,
okay.
I haven't figured that out.
Okay.
I'm working on it.
If I don't know the answer to the question off the top of my head, I'll go look it up and I'll answer it later at another time. Okay. So very good. All right. So what I wanted to talk about is why it's good for you to be outside. It should be obvious when you go outside, you feel better. But would you believe there's some science around that? Who knew that we had to study why being outside is good for you, that it's not obvious? But here we go. There are 12 reasons. There's myriad reasons why being in nature is good for you. But I'm going to talk to you about 12 of them. And these are all things that were literally studied. Okay. So first of all, it's shown that walking in nature can improve your short-term memory. So how that works, if you're around trees, you're going to do better on memory tests. They actually did a memory test before and after people walked on a street versus people walking through an arboretum, which is a place you can go where there are trees in a city. And the people who walked in the trees did almost 20% better on a memory test. So this is not telling you the mechanism. But again, a similar study on depressed individuals found that walks in nature boosted working memory. So I don't know the exact answer to this. One thing I can say is if you're inside, there's less availability of oxygen. You have recirculated air. When you're outside, you have so many other things going on. You have sunshine, which does a lot of wonderful things for you. And the thing with suddenly, like you have people in the same circumstances, one's walking down a city street and one's walking around trees. The big difference there is as you walk among the trees are giving off more oxygen than the city streets are. The city streets, you may have cars that are giving off carbon dioxide. So your brain's going to be more oxygenated if you are amongst the trees.
So you should hug your trees.
Oh, yeah. 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 But... So I'm hypothesizing this, but it makes sense. All right. So that's one thing. Did you know that being outdoors reduces your stress? Who knew?
That's a DUH.
Yeah, I know. Mm. So they put students in the forest for 2 nights. And they found a statistically significant lowering in their level of cortisol. So cortisol is your fight or flight hormone. So did you know if you have a reduced, if you go outside, you're going to have less cortisol. So you're going to have less cortisol that's raising your blood sugar, increasing inflammation, and reducing, you know, eating away at necessary tissues in your body, like your muscle mass, for example. Another study showed a decrease in heart rates and levels of cortisol who spent time in the forest versus in the city. So going and being in nature is good for you, calms you down. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, of course. Good. I mean, it's kind of my meditation is to go out.
It literally reduces inflammation. So any kind of inflammation that you might have, whether it's an autoimmune disease or if you have inflammatory bowel disease or if you have arthritis, if you're depressed, God forbid you should have cancer, people who spend time outside have reduced inflammation. Is that so exciting? It just by being in nature, probably one of my proposed mechanisms for that is, guess what? The reduction in cortisol. Being in nature calms you down. And so when you have less cortisol, you have less inflammation. Cortisol's job is to eat away at tissue, which causes inflammation. It's not necessarily a bad thing because when you have that cortisol, the cortisol is looking for tissue that it can break down so that it can turn it into sugar so you can run away from the bear. That's its job. And so that creates inflammation when that happens. And when you are in nature and you reduce that cortisol, you're going to have less inflammation. So that's my hypothesis. I'm not saying that that's exactly how it works. But if you go outside, you're going to be less tired. It eliminates fatigue.
How about that? And people say, but I get so tired when I go for walks. How do you answer that?
Oh, well, let's hold that thought.
Okay.
You know when your brain is like when you're inside and you're working on the computer and your brain's not doing what it's supposed to be doing and you're like, I can't even anymore. If instead of taking that cup of coffee, you would go for a walk outside or go breathe the outdoor air, that can wake you up more than even caffeine.
Well, there you go.
Yes, it's a restorative environment that even if you look at pictures of nature. So you know how if you have Windows 10, Windows 10, the screensaver are these beautiful nature scenes, like really gorgeous nature scenes. And you look at them and you go, oh, that's nice. It's like you finish your day and you turn your computer off and then Windows 10 goes to the screensaver and it shows you this gorgeous scene. And it's really nice because it's like if you're about to leave your office or you're about to go do something else, it leaves you with, as the last thing you do. So even looking at pictures of nature. So if you have a screensaver that can scroll through a lot of photos, you can put nature photos on it. It's going to make you feel better. All right. Guess what? Going outside can fight in depression and anxiety.
Wow. Hey, there's a newfound fact.
Yeah.
You're going to get a really loud sigh on this one.
You know, so you know how you see me, if you look at my Facebook page, my personal Facebook page, you're going to see a lot of pictures of me happily walking around in the city. Not. Most of the happy pictures of me are on the beach. And if they're not on the beach, they're flowers. They're on a bike and they're with among flowers. When the flowers come out, I'm fascinated with the flowers. Our bluettes are actually starting to bloom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've got buds on the rhododendron and we've got daffodils actually in bloom. And that's very nice.
It is nice.
So walks in the forest are associated with reduced levels of anxiety and depression. And they're saying that they could be useful as a supplement to existing treatments like your drugs. Go outside. And any environment that's green, they actually did a study where they put people on bicycles on trainers and they had one group look at red, one group look at yellow, and one group look at green. And the people who looked at the green performed better.
Hey, there you go.
So being outside may protect your vision. So there is a study in kids. They found that outdoors activities had protective effects on the eyes and less likelihood of developing myopia, which is nearsightedness. Increasing time spent outdoors is a simple strategy to reduce the risk of developing myopia in children and adolescents. And that was in a 2012 study. There was a study in Taiwan where they encouraged one school to encourage outdoor activity during recess and monitored the other as a control. And after a year, the myopia in the control school was 17% and the play outside was 8%, less than half.
Wow.
So I don't know if you
That's
can. So, you know, you would say that, if you spend more time indoors, you're going to spend more time reading, and reading too much can encourage myopia. Or is there some other effect that being outside helps with protective? And I'm gonna surmise that it's not just the fact that they're spending less time staring at screens, that there is something actually preservative about being outside. And I'm pointing this way because that's the window right there.
Yeah,
the outside.
Right,
yeah, it's right there. So, anyway, so I'm saying that there's something about being outside that actually improves your vision. And I think what it is because you're not focusing very closely. You're looking at a lot of things all around you. Sometimes you're focusing close and sometimes you're focusing far. And you're looking at a lot of different things all the time because you're in a larger surrounding. So you're literally exercising your intraocular muscles.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yes,
it does.
So the intraocular muscles, you have, they're controlled by three of the cranial nerves, but you have muscles around your eyeballs that move your eyes. So when I go look up and down, so those are the muscles that control my eyes, and they're going to get more exercise if I'm looking around at a lot more things.
Sure.
And if they're stuck in one position, they're not going to get as much exercise. So those muscles, the muscles that open up your pupils and close them, are not going to work as well. And the muscles that control what your lens does, your eyes move back and forth to focus on different things. So your lens isn't going to function as well if you're just focused in one spot all the time. That's my hypothesis.
Okay.
Because it's really significant. Going outside can improve your vision.
Do remember, though, that you want to cover up for the UV rays.
Yes,
yeah.
That's
so
right.
You want to be a little careful about that.
Yes, and covering for UV rays can include wearing sun protection, so wearing eyeglasses that have UV protection in
Correct.
Them. That's one thing you can do. And remember, too, if you eat a lot of brightly colored vegetables that have beta carotene, which gets converted to vitamin A, the more beta carotene vitamin A is, if you are topped up on your vitamin A and beta carotene, that is protective of your vision.
Wow.
Yeah. So, so make sure to do that.
We have carrots in our salads every night.
Isn't that, yeah, and it's not just the carrots. It's the it's
yellow peppers.
Yes.
And other light
all of the colored
things.
Peppers, yeah, and also leafy greens. Leafy greens, yeah. You forget they have carotenoids in them because they're green, because they're the green color. It's covered in chlorophyll. But if you leave your greens in the fridge too long, what happens? They turn yellow, right?
Oh, yeah, they do.
Well,
yeah.
What's the yellow color? These wonderful carotenoids, lutein and zeaxanthin. Well, lutein mostly is yellow. And that's in your leafy greens. And that's another wonderful carotenoid that's protective of your eye health.
Okay.
Like directly protective of your eye health, lutein and zeaxanthin. So you'll get those from your leafy greens. All right. So here's a shocker. Going outside reduces your blood pressure.
Well, here we go again with the big D and a big U and a big H.
Because it makes you feel better. Well, and again, if your cortisol is too high, there's a number of mechanisms by which cortisol raises your blood pressure. One of them is that cortisol directly in real time raises your blood pressure and raises your heart rate. So your heart works harder because, you know, cortisol is gearing you up to go run away from that bear.
Right.
So if you're under the influence of cortisol too much, then you're going to have some damage to your blood vessels, unfortunately. Ew. And so that makes your blood vessels less elastic. Mm-hmm. And it's a vicious cycle. If you're stressed out, you get damage to your blood vessels, and then the blood vessels become less elastic, and they have less abilities to stretch and accommodate as your blood pressure goes up and down, as your heart rate goes up and down. So
is that permanent damage, or is that repairable?
That is a really good question. What we do when people already have high blood pressure is not easy to treat. I have to say, if you are prone to it, it is difficult to treat. And a lot of people with high blood pressure, they go on to take pharmaceuticals, because you really have to get all the stress out of your life. And if you're prone to being anxious, and if you're prone to stress, and you're prone to having high blood pressure, it's really hard to turn that off. And, you know, if you're in a pandemic, it's really hard to turn it off. And if you're in a pandemic and you're running a micro enterprise, it's even harder to turn it off. So you're left with, well, I'm going to relax as much as I can. I'm going to do my yoga. I'm going to get my exercise. I'm going to take my supplements. I'm going to do my best. Is it reparable? I think it is. I think there are people who, if they're able to do all the things that you need to do to lower your blood pressure, like reduce your stress, eat your fruits and veggies, stay away from excess alcohol and sugar, eat foods that are high in nitric oxide. So, because nitric oxide is vasodilating, it helps to reduce your blood pressure. Your beets and your beet juice and your nuts and seeds and your leafy greens, all the things that increase nitric oxide, then you're going to have a better time with controlling your blood pressure. And of course, being outside. Now, when I say go outside right now, you may or not be in a place where you're doing a great job of getting regular exercise. Some of you are doing great at it. Some of you are not doing so great at it. Listen, whatever you're doing, it's okay. I've seen some memes online that are talking about, which person do you want to be? Do you want to be the person who's hoarding and hiding and upset? Do you want to be the person who's learning how to let go of things? Or do you want to be the person who's helping? And I looked at that and went, you know, it's a little unfair, because some people have a much harder time being that person who's just taking it in stride, and they're really helping, and they're able to relax. And some of it is connected to your privilege. It's connected to how much money you have, what kind of job you have, whether your job is still paying you, whether you're running a business or not. And just some people are more upset by this than others, regardless of their financial status. Mm. That there are some people, this is just devastating to them. The whole world has been turned upside down. And I can say for myself that a lot of the things that I do to keep myself sane, I can't do. So the Mansfield Community Center was a godsend for me. I would go and take Ron's spin class. I would see people there. I would go give talks there. I would get in the pool. And, you know, for those of you who swim, you know what I'm talking about. It's really difficult to go swimming right now because all of the outdoor bodies of water are just too cold. Some people perhaps can put on a wetsuit and stand, but I think most of the time the outdoor bodies of water, it's not a thing right now. If you live in a place, in a tropical place, the beaches are closed, so you can't get in water. And for some of us, that's really soothing. And for some of us, it's our primary form of exercise. So my shout outs to all of you wonderful swimmers. I know who you are because I see you at the community center when I go swimming. I can't get in a pool right now.
I'll bet Marcy's in her wetsuit and swimming every day.
Maybe. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, I would not. I don't know. We have a friend, Marcy, who is a very, very avid swimmer, and she's also of championship quality. She's caliber, I guess I should say. She's swum the English Channel a number of times.
Yes.
She's just an amazing person and also athlete at the same time. And I know she owns a wetsuit. I do know that.
Right.
So she definitely owns a wetsuit.
Uh-huh. So you don't know where people are at. People are in various positions in their life right now. They may or may not be getting to do the things that they need to do. I know that a lot of my colleagues who teach classes and people who run yoga studios and fitness studios, they're doing wonderful online classes. Frequently, those classes are no charge, that you can just find them online and you can do them. For example, today, I, as you can see, I'm dressed in workout wear underneath my nice blue shirt here. I was feeling a little blue, so I dressed in blue today.
Oh, okay.
I saw that Carrie Jenkins was teaching Butts and Guts through the Mansfield Community Center. So, and it was not a super long class. So I said, I'm going to go do that. So I took my phone and I have a Google dongle. I took my phone downstairs and I put her up on the TV screen and I did Butts and Guts with Carrie. And I was so happy.
That's great.
Yeah, it was really great. And it was very cool. Nice little class. It was just long enough and it worked my tush and my glutes and she had some nice core exercises and we finished off with a 1 minute plank. It was great. And so there's lots of that stuff online and a lot of places are giving you 2 week trials. Other places are inexpensive and some people are showing you classes that are no charge and they have something going on every day. So you can look at those things. All right, so let's get back to looking at blood pressure. So here was a study. There is a study in Japan that they found that going outside decreased the stress hormone concentrations by more than 15%, that walks in the forest helped to lower those things. It's really pretty amazing, just being outside. All right, we know that the natural environment is restorative. If you go outside, you're going to do better on creative tasks. So people do better at problem solving. It's just a way to generally improve your cognitive functioning. So one of the things that I do at the end of the day after my last patient goes, now I have a pile of charting to do. And I have a really bad habit of getting into my computer. And if I would just go outside for 5 or 10 minutes, I would be so much more functional.
And you have a great spot for that. Because you get down to Eaton's Pond.
I know.
It's very, very, very serene.
We have a little swampy area. And there's even a bird watching station there. And let me tell you, the peepers are loud right now.
Peepers are awesome.
Yeah. Cool. Outdoor sessions may even help prevent cancer. That spending time in nature, especially forests, stimulate the production of anti-cancer proteins. And when you go in, these anti-cancer proteins are increased for as much as a week after going on a trip. So in Japan, they really believe in forest bathing. And areas where there's more forest coverage have lower mortality rates from a wide variety of cancers. So we need to be going out on our little trails, our nice little trails through Mansfield Hollow. We need to be spending more time there.
Well, here's another idea too. There are people that are still working and, some of them are fortunate enough to be working outside so they don't have to have as much concern about this. But if you're working and you're in a hospital or an office park or someplace like that, get to work about 10 minutes early and do a couple of laps around the building and then go into work.
Yeah.
And you'll get a little bit of your outdoor time. You'll go in fresher and ready to go.
Yeah. It's great. Okay. All right. And so let's see what else. So that I didn't know. Going outside can specifically increase anti-cancer proteins. That's pretty amazing. All right. And so there's a general increase in the immune system. So this is very specific to this situation right now. Getting outside can help you to be healthier in the time of the coronavirus. You might be less likely to catch it if you spend time outside because being outside literally improves your immune system's functioning. So serious illnesses, colds, flu, other infections, if you go outside, you're going to be able to, your immune system is going to be improved. And it doesn't say the mechanism. So once again, let me go ahead and I'll do a speculation on what the mechanism might be. Mechanism would be that when you go outside, there's at least four things that improve. One of them is your vitamin D levels. If you get outside, now we're into the time of year where the sun in Connecticut does get above 50 degrees above the horizon. So you can actually make vitamin D when you get outside. The less covered you are, the more vitamin D you're going to make. And that's harder to do because the weather is not necessarily conducive to it. If you can get outside in a tank top and shorts, you're going to get more skin coverage. Of course, you don't want to stay outside so long that you get a sunburn. But if you get outside for at least 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes with no sunscreen on, you may get enough sunlight to improve your vitamin D levels. Vitamin D, melatonin improves. Your melatonin production improves. Melatonin helps you with your circadian cycle. Melatonin is also something that we're recommending to people because of the way that it calms inflammasomes and cytokines. It can be helpful directly with the coronavirus. We're actually recommending it in natural medicine to help to fight the coronavirus. So if you improve your melatonin levels, one way you're going to do that is by getting adequate sleep and all the natural medicine things, all the take care of yourself things about the coronavirus, whether it's natural medicine stuff or whether it's any other source, they're all saying get enough sleep. And I know you and I, Ron, have been getting more sleep because we're not having to get up as early, and we're not having, you know, it doesn't matter as much what time we go to bed because we can sleep during the day and we can take breaks and take naps during the day. So I don't feel that sleep deficit that I usually feel, that we feel when we're getting up to go to spin class. When we need to sleep, we're sleeping. That's going to improve your melatonin. Getting outside also improves your melatonin. It gives you a sense of what the sun is doing, so you get a better sleep-wake cycle from going outside. So serotonin is something else. Serotonin is a neurotransmitter that is thought to participate in anxiety and depression. In fact, when you take your antidepressant medicines, many of them increase the levels of serotonin in your brain. And if you go outside, you improve your serotonin function. That's one of the things that happens. So that's number three. And number four is thyroid hormone. I'm pointing to my thyroid.
Yeah. That's okay. Good.
So thyroid function improves. And so one of the reasons we tend not to get sick as much this time of year is because we get outside and we have sunlight and our thyroid function improves. So if you have any kind of thyroid issues to start with and you get outside, that can improve your thyroid function. And even if you don't, your thyroid is more active this time of year. That's another reason why people have a little bit easier time as you're getting into spring and summer with getting their weight down, because your metabolism actually goes up when the weather improves. And today's a great time to get outside. It's so beautiful out there. I can't wait to be done so I can get outside.
Yay.
So, yeah. All right. And so that's about just improving your immune system. So if you get outside, you're not going to die as soon.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go. Prolongs life.
Yes, being outside prolongs life. It's all true.
There you go.
That's right. So getting outside in green space is especially important if you live in the city, because in the city you're just so enclosed in. And if you are, if you're inside your apartment and stuff, getting outside is harder. So my heart really goes out to people who actually live in New York City or live in cities where they have stay at home orders, and it's really hard to get outside and maintain that 6-foot distance from other people.
Right.
We are so fortunate that we can just walk out our door and we're in our yard and we're outside and we're at least 6 feet away from anybody else.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so being in a rural environment during this time is an advantage. It's a huge advantage. And we know that in this part of Connecticut, the virus is not nearly as widespread.
Our numbers are very low.
Extremely low. I mean, our town still only has one confirmed case.
Right. And now, our county has more cases, but it's because
we have a nursing home that had a problem. That's right.
And so that's why there are more cases.
And Windham County's caseload is very low because it didn't make it into a nursing home. Or if it did, it was very few people.
Right. We actually have towns in our county have zero.
Still. Yes, as far as we know. Right, I know.
Yeah.
So being outside, we're very fortunate that we can get outside. So you live longer because if your vitamin D is functioning well, you have lower cortisol, your serotonin, your melatonin, your thyroid hormone are all functioning well, and your immune system is functioning better, you're going to have a lower rate of all-cause mortality. So getting outside is just a really good thing for you. And like I said, I know a lot of you are struggling with getting regular exercise right now. And a lot of you are struggling with getting anything done right now. I know that I have days where it's just like, all right, I don't want to move. And if you're having days like that, it's okay. It's understandable. Our world was turned upside down. You know, just running out to the store because you forgot that one thing for your meal. You have to think twice about that. People are not going to the supermarket for 2 weeks in a row. You can't count on things being in stock when you go to the supermarket. You know, you can't just run out and do whatever anymore. Every time you move, you have to think about what you're doing. And it's very stressful. And not to mention, people are worried about actually contracting the virus or having their loved ones contracting the virus. And if they do, how serious a case are they going to get? This is something that bothers me, of course. And then the economic impact of the shutdown. Right. Which is very hard on the most vulnerable of us. It's very hard on hourly workers who are laid off for they don't know how long. It's also very hard on blue-collar workers who were not laid off and still have to go to work. People who are going to be making the ventilators for you. People who are driving trucks. Mm. People who are working at the supermarket. And let's not forget healthcare workers who are still, you know, valiantly going to work. And I'm not just talking about somebody like me who's working in a relatively safe clinic where very few people are coming in and I'm mostly doing telemedicine. I'm talking about the fearless people or the courageous people. They're not fearless because they're afraid and so are, and yeah, we're afraid totally for them.
Afraid. We're all
but,
afraid.
They are courageously going into hospitals and taking care of people who have coronavirus. It's mind-boggling. So there are people who still have to work, and I feel for those people. So this whole situation is very stressful in so many different directions. And we're relatively blessed in that we do have a safe place to be. We do have a safe home to be indoors. You know, we have issues because I am a micro enterprise. And so that is concerning. But, you know, we're doing our best. And I just really feel for people who are still working and still putting themselves in harm's way so that most of society can continue to go on. And if you're a sensitive person, thinking about all of that is difficult. So if you have days where you're just losing it, it's okay. People are going to lose it right now. And you're going to have days where you feel joyful and days where you feel horrific and days where you feel in between and days where you cycle between those things. It doesn't mean you're going crazy. It means that that's normal. One of the other things that I have heard is there was some kind of a stat that liquor sales are up 55%. So people are buying a lot more alcohol and people are drinking a lot more. So that means that some people, you know, with alcohol problems are probably drinking more. And people who just like to drink are drinking more. Everybody's drinking more. Are you drinking more?
I'm having an occasional drink. I'm not drinking a lot, but I'm having an occasional drink.
Yeah. Are you drinking more than before the pandemic?
I would say that would be a yes.
Yes.
But it wasn't, you know, yeah, it wasn't that much before either.
But
yeah,
more,
I would say so.
But you're more likely to have that bourbon at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I mean, after you've been pounded with all this information all day long, sometimes you need a little something to take the edge off of that.
Yeah.
You know, and it could be a walk, it could be a bike ride, it could be a little bourbon. You know, you never know.
And I'm one of those
whatever
people,
works.
It's, and no judgment, but I'm just not one of those people. I was never a big drinker.
That's
so
for sure.
it doesn't interest me that much, but I'm not beyond, you know, ingesting something to make me feel better. And so my go-tos have been theanine. I have beautiful theanine gummies that I take. They're
lovely.
At my office. Yeah, the theanine is an amino acid that comes from tea, from green tea and black tea. And it's lovely and calming. So I'll take those. And I also like my CBD.
Right.
So I'll do, I prefer to do CBD for calming. And
so is there anything out there about CBD and coronavirus?
Oh, I don't know. Specifically, I don't think there's anything right now where we're saying this natural substance kills the coronavirus.
Yeah.
All of it is, it makes sense that this would help because of the mechanism of action. That's what we're looking at. We're not looking at, I don't know, because there's nothing right now that we are sure works for the coronavirus, whether it's natural medicine or or, you know, pharmaceuticals. There's no drug that we're saying, yep, it definitely kills the coronavirus. They're working on studies. They are considering the use of, as much as you disagree with what that guy in the White House, what Mr. Trump is talking about with chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine. On the one hand, he's pushing it as though he knows what's going on with it. But on the other hand,
he's not a doctor.
That's right. He's not a doctor. But I hate to say this, but he has a point. And the point that he has is that the reason it's even being considered and some people are actually receiving it is because hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine, these antimalarial drugs, they are immune modulators and they do suppress the cytokine storm. That's why they're being used. If you're somebody who has to take Plaquenil or hydroxychloroquine because you have an autoimmune condition, you know that if you don't take it, your joints hurt or you have elevated markers for kidney inflammation or you have elevated markers for joint inflammation, that you just feel worse in general if you have an autoimmune condition, you don't take your Plaquenil. People are given Plaquenil or hydroxychloroquine as well if they have babesiosis, if they actually have parasitic infections. And babesiosis, which is a tick-borne illness, is one of the things that it's given for. So there is a reason why they're considering it. It's to calm the cytokine storm. The cytokine storm is that storm of inflammatory compounds that your body produces to fight against this virus that most people don't get, but the ones who do, they're the ones who are on the ventilators and the ones who get that incredible inflammation from the white blood cell infiltrates into their lungs.
Right.
And so the hydroxychloroquine can help to calm that, but it hasn't been surely proven, which is why anybody who talks about it should really know that they're talking about. So, you know, a doctor who has some understanding and experience of how the drug works and what's actually going on needs to speak the truth about what the actual studies and what the usage of it is. They're also giving azithromycin. Azithromycin is an antibiotic, and an antibiotic isn't going to directly fight against the virus. But if you have any superimposed bacteria that's growing, which you can have if you already have pneumonia, if you take a Z-Pak, azithromycin is really good at fighting lung infections. So I'm not sure if that's the mechanism of action, why they're giving azithromycin along with hydroxychloroquine. I know that when my patients go to the walk-in and they have bronchitis, that at the walk-in, they give them, they don't give them hydroxychloroquine, they give them prednisone. Give them a short course of prednisone, they give them azithromycin, they give them an inhaler. And those people get better. And, you know, even though it's a virus, so there's some bacteria that can overgrow in your lungs while you're suffering with a virally caused pneumonia, and the azithromycin apparently calms that down. So that's why they're doing it. Whether it's the definitive thing that's going to cure the coronavirus, obviously not, because in places they're trying it, some people are getting better from it, some people are not. And it has to be rigorously studied before they can say for sure. But we're in a time right now where if it makes sense, do it.
There are also side effects from that drug.
Oh, yes. You have to be really careful. You're taking hydroxychloroquine or chloroquine. The big side effect is this can make you blind. My patients who take hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine, they have to have regular ocular exams because it can cause blindness. Absolutely.
Oh my God.
Yes. So it's not without, and where Trump is talking about there's no side effects, it's not true at all.
The other thing you have to realize is
anytime you take an immunosuppressive, whether you're going to the walk-in and taking prednisone or you're taking hydroxychloroquine, they're immunosuppressives. And anything that's an immunosuppressive can suppress your ability to fight other infections. And the other thing I want to repeat again and again is just because we're freaked out about the coronavirus doesn't mean we get a break from influenza, from other cold viruses, and we're telling everybody to go outside from ticks. So right. If you are going outside, if you're going for hikes in the woods, you need to cover up. And now that it's getting nicer out, my patients are telling me that they're pulling ticks off themselves. You still want to use your tick repellent. If you get out there and when you come home, you need to do tick checks because you don't want to get Lyme disease on top of having coronavirus. You don't want to get Lyme disease and then be worried about fighting coronavirus because now that's a big hit to your immune system. So be real careful of those ticks, please.
So really a big thing here that you're trying to emphasize is that we need to all start paying a lot closer attention to our immune system.
Yes.
And we saw that on a show the other night.
That's right. We were watching Bill Maher, and Bill Maher made an excellent point, which I don't see a lot of people making, and that's that there's a concern about the general state of health of people in the United States today, that we really need to be focusing on having people have better health overall in terms of getting outside, getting exercise, eating healthier food. My big thing is that I wish that we would, where we have grains subsidized right now, there's a subsidy for soy and corn and wheat. I wish there was a subsidy for produce. That way, produce wouldn't be seen as a specialty item. More people would eat it. More people would have access to it. And one of the things you can do, people making an analogy that this is wartime, make a victory garden. It's a really good idea. If you have the time and energy, make a garden. If you live in the country, make a garden in your yard. If you live in the city, make a garden on your porch or your terrace or on your windowsill. You know, grow herbs, grow microgreens. Grow whatever you can, wherever you can. Those things are going to be so good for you, and you don't have to rely, once you get them grown, you don't have to rely on a store for them. All right, so that's a lot of good things. I do want to send a huge shout out and lots of love to my friend Kurt Beal. He inspires me every day with his focus on how being outside is healthy for you, and I always think of him when I talk about why being outside is so good for you. And so big shout out to him, whether he's in New York or Oregon at this time. So I want to advise you to go ahead and get outside. So I'm going to wrap up now. So it's been really great spending time with you and being here with you on Radio Naturopath. And so it's really great that we can be live in this form. So I want to remind you again that this show will be replayed in full on Wednesday, April 8th at 10 o'clock a.m. on 91.7 FM WHUS stores. And it will ultimately be available for podcast. So it'll be about, and then the Facebook Live is going to be available right away. So I'm signing off now. You've been listening to Radio Naturopath, the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch-ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza. You can also email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. And once this Facebook Live is posted, you can comment under the Facebook Live, and I will answer your comments and questions. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at FranStorchND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of the station. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS stores, and WHUS.org.